welcome to church, everybody. Very, very glad to have you here. Thank you so much for being here. And this is an exciting month because we are at the movies. And movies are not really our topic. They're just the beginning of the conversation. And where we base this off of is this, is that in the New Testament, Jesus told powerful stories called parables, which were modern-day stories, and they had life-changing truths embedded in them, and we are doing the exact same thing. And so, you know what? This week we had an amazing staff retreat, and it was about a week and a half ago where all of the team members of City First Church come together, the school, all the locations, and we spend some time just seeking God's face, and we prepare our hearts for the next season. And while we were doing that, Pastor Lisa, got up on the stage and told a story about another team member, which happens to be my oldest son, Caden. And she talked about 20 years ago, that before she was Pastor Lisa, she was Lisa Yonke, and she was part of our leadership college. And so Jen and I would sometimes ask her, hey, listen, would you watch our two oldest boys, Caden and Connor, make a little money on the side, which she, as a college student, wanted to do. And so one time she was watching Caden and Connor. They were about 5 and 4 years old at the time. And when she was telling the boys to go get ready for bed and to brush their teeth, she looked at Caden and she goes, hey, listen, go up and brush your teeth. And he looks at her and says, no. And Lisa looked back and said, no, Caden, really, I need you to go up and brush your teeth. And he said, no. Caden gets a little bit of his obstinance from his mom. But anyway, they went back and forth a little bit, Lisa said. And Caden looks at her and says this, says, you know what, Lisa, I'm going to tell you something. And you're going to go, no. No, Caden, you shouldn't think this way. But listen, Caden said, he goes, I'm going to tell you this anyway. Sometimes, Lisa, I want to be on the devil's side. Again, gets that a little bit from his mom. You know what I'm saying? So, and Lisa's like, whoa, what do you mean by that? And basically, Caden goes, no, sometimes I want to do the bad things, that kind of thing. Now, he's 5 years old, you know? And at that point, Lisa looks at him and goes, Caden, just brush your teeth, you know what I mean? This is not like a big deal. Now, I thought about that this week as she was telling that story, and I thought, you know, we laugh at it, but even from the young age of even 5 years old, we as individuals even know that there's a right and there's a wrong, there's a good, there's a bad, and essentially there is a good and an evil, right? I mean, even kids know there's a good and an evil. And in today's movie, Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, I mean, this was an epic movie. It came out years ago, directed by Peter Jackson. And I mean, the thing was super long. Like, I mean, it was over like 3 hours long. But it was actually based off of books written by a guy by the name of J.R.R. Tolkien, who was actually lived in the 1900s and in the last century. And about mid-1900s, he wrote these books, The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and things like that. And here's a quote of his. I think it's just kind of interesting. He was a brilliant writer. He said this, if I may say so with humility, the Christian religion, which I profess, which means he professed to be a Christian, is far the most powerful ultimate source. It's just interesting. As you read these books or watch the movies, there are strong Christian overtones. In fact, you may not know this, but J.R.R. Tolkien, who was the author of The Lord of the Rings, as well as C.S. Lewis, who was the author of The Chronicles of Narnia, were actually really good friends. They would meet together in Oxford at a pub every Thursday night. They called themselves the Inklings. There were some other authors that were there too. And they would talk about theology. They talk about their writings. They would do these things. So as you are watching the movie Lord of the Rings and all of the Lord of the Rings, there is a strong Christian overtone. And here's the reason why, is because it was written by a Christian. Now, I would not say the movie itself is a Christian movie per se, all right? But it flows out of a biblical worldview that is based in faith and scripture. And The Lord of the Rings is not just a fantasy movie. It actually is a reflection of a battle between good and evil. And as followers of Jesus, we need to realize there actually is a battle going on all around us, even in us, and we cannot see it, but we sure can see the repercussions of it. Can I get a big amen on that, right? In fact, it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says this in the Bible, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places." It's just interesting. Scripture is full of stories that give us a glimpse that what we see is not everything going on. Does that make sense? And in fact, there are dark forces at work. There's also God's forces at work going on all around us, and it is impacting not just us, but people we love and people we don't even know. In fact, you know what? Most of this world would admit that there is such a thing as good and evil. That even if there are beyond church-going people, maybe even people that are far from faith, there is a curiosity about the spiritual world. You see it in our culture, you see it in our literature, you see it in our movies, you see it in people's lives. In fact, there was a Pew Research that was done in December of 2023, and this is the findings that they came up with. 83% of all U.S. adults believe people have a soul or a spirit in addition to their physical body. 83% of Americans. Also, 81% say there's something spiritual beyond the natural world, even if we cannot see it. I mean, this is a massive percentage of our society that's going, yeah, there's other things going on here beyond what we see. Have you ever stopped and wondered, why am I encountering the things that I'm encountering? Why am I struggling with the things that I'm struggling with? Why am I dealing with the things that I'm dealing with, right? I mean, many times we think these things, like, why am I dealing with this addiction? Why am I dealing with pride? Why am I dealing with greed, with fear? Why am I dealing with self-hate, anger, lust? Any of these things like selfishness or even the temptations of our day. And I'm praying that today's message would not be a message that you go, wow, that's kind of weird. But rather instead, it'd be a message that you would go, maybe something's happening in my world that's beyond what I can see. Maybe it's an aha moment for you. May we be aware that the temptations that we're dealing with, the battles that we're dealing with, aren't just coincidence, but maybe there's a very real enemy in our world that's trying to ruin our life. It says in John 10:10, Jesus is talking. If Jesus is saying it, we need to pay attention, right? He says this, the thief, he's identifying there's an enemy in our life, all right? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And then Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus himself is identifying there's an enemy to our soul. There's a thief that's trying to steal from our life, and he isn't bringing good. He's only bringing bad. And we don't realize that many times we're in a spiritual battle. Now listen, I don't want us to be afraid after today. My goal is not to make us all spooky, goofy, or weird, all right? I don't believe that we are to be afraid of the enemy, but I think we're to be aware of the enemy. I don't think we need to give him too much attention, but I do think we need to be attentive. Does that make sense? See, Jesus came to give life and life to the fullest, so we are to focus on him. But even Jesus said this in John chapter 16. He said, on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. What he's saying is this. He's not saying we're not going to have a struggle-free life. He's not saying, hey, listen, you're just going to walk through life like it's, you know, unicorns, rainbows, and Skittles, okay? It's not going to be that way. You're going to have struggles, he said. It's not if you're going to have struggles. It's like you're going to have them, okay? But he says, I've overcome these struggles. And sometimes you and I have battles that we're going through, and we think that we can battle them with physical weapons. In other words, you know, just our physical, like, grit, our determination or whatever. But actually, we need spiritual weapons to battle spiritual battles, all right? God has given us what we need for the battles that we face. You know, in this story, in this movie, the young hobbit by the name of Frodo has been given the burden of carrying a ring, all right? And this ring is representative of the seductive powers of evil. And little Frodo bears this burden of the ring, and in the same way we carry the weight of sin and the trials of life and the struggles of life and the temptations of life, right? Let's go ahead and watch.
In the kingdom of Gondor, Elrond gathers a secret council of men, elves, and dwarves to discuss the One Ring. The ring is dangerous because it offers power to its wearer and progressively corrupts the wearer's mind to evil. If left unattended, the One Ring would eventually destroy Middle-earth. To save Middle-earth, Elrond, along with the Council, determined that the Ring needs to be destroyed. Unfortunately, it cannot be destroyed with the weapons within their possession, as Gimli soon discovers after trying to no avail. Elrond states that the Ring was created in the fiery depths of Mount Doom in Mordor and must be returned there in order to be destroyed. But who would embark on this treacherous journey? As the council begins to argue, you see Frodo Baggins, an innocent hobbit, invited to the council because he had inadvertently inherited the ring. Finally, Frodo blurts out, "I will take the ring to Mordor, though I do not know the way." Council agrees and makes Frodo the ring bearer. Alongside Frodo, a crew, including his hobbit friends, his mentor Gandalf, and a few protectors, the nine companions begin their dangerous journey to destroy the One Ring.
You know what I love about Frodo? I love the fact that he's small in stature, but he is large in his heart and commitment to the mission, right? And some of us might think that even in the battles that we encounter in life, that we have to be some spiritual giant per se, but I'm telling you, that is not the case. Because what we need to just realize is who we are connected to, not our stature, but the stature of our God. Does that make sense? How big he is. So we face our spiritual battles, and there's things that we need to know, and I want to talk about some of those things today. Number one is this, is everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Now, I realize that this may sound a little bit far-fetched. I realize that it's like angels, demons, God, devil. It feels like kind of like a movie, a little weird, right? You know, I promise we are not that weird church, okay? But I am telling you this, these things are real. They are real. And I believe that most people go through life and they don't even realize that there's a very real enemy that's trying to take them out. And so many times what they do is they just try to struggle well through their life. But here's the thing, that the spiritual world is actually more real than the physical world is. And so many times we encounter like the challenges of life and we're like, well, it's just life, you know, it's just life, rather than seeing that there is a spiritual component to what we are encountering. And I realize that maybe you even have met people or you know people that they've taken this concept way too far and they are kind of spooky, goofy. I'm not advocating that, but I am saying there is a very real spiritual realm. And today, we live in a hopelessly broken world. And it's been broken because of sin. It's been broken because of the enemy. It's very, very real, and we encounter these kind of battles. So everything's spiritual. Everything's spiritual. Number two is this, is in your life, you're going to need your own fellowship of the ring. You're going to need a group of people that go with you, and it has to be the right group. Now, I'm not going to camp long on this because I say this all the time. I say that you are not meant to walk your spiritual journey alone. We say this all the time. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. So I'm not going to over-preach this, but one of the biggest ways I've noticed that the enemy works in people's life is through their friends and their relationships. I could also tell you one of the biggest ways that God works in people's lives is through their friends and their relationships, all right? It's really, really true. So who you do life with really matters. You need to think about who you're doing life with. I've seen so many spiritual fires that have been snuffed out because of people either wanting to walk alone or they walk with the wrong people. I've seen it more than anything else, that it's killed their spiritual fire, you could say. You know, the circle of your life is a spiritual thing. It isn't if you're walking through difficulty and temptations, it's who you're walking through these things with. Does that make sense? So who is your ring? Who's that inner circle of people? In the movie, there are nine of them, and they're very different personalities and different strengths and different weapons and different things, but they have a common goal, and that is to defeat evil, right? And it says in Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament, it's a book in the Old Testament, it says in chapter 4, verse 12, though one may be overpowered, meaning one person, two can defend themselves, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It's a metaphor like a rope that has three strands. You can't easily break it. If there are three of you in a circle, a fellowship of the ring, you could say, and you all have the same godly faith focus of life, guess what? It's really hard to break that kind of a person because there's many people together, individuals coming together into, in a sense, a strong cord. Number three is this, that God equips us with weapons for the battle. It's really true. The verse we read earlier states that the fight that we are in is not against flesh and blood. We don't use physical weapons. We use spiritual ones. So what are these spiritual weapons? Well, let's go back and look in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, which means it's going to come, all right, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, all right, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet, in other words, shoes, fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert. Keep on praying, Paul says, for all the Lord's people. See, the Apostle Paul, who was kind of overseeing all these church plants in the first century, he's writing these letters to various churches. He's writing this one to the church in Ephesus, a city in that day. That you got to understand, Paul was not just a Jewish individual, but he was also a Roman citizen talking to those people that were in the Roman Empire. Rome was the military power of the world at that time, 2,000 years ago. There was no stronger army. There was no stronger civilization. They dominated the known world. So as he's talking to people in the Roman Empire, he's talking with, like, in a sense, kind of like military metaphors or overtones. And so they understood war. They understood modern day weaponry. And so Paul is saying, hey, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to liken physical armor to spiritual protection. And I'm going to talk about physical weaponry and talk about a Christian's arsenal, all right? And as I studied this passage, it's kind of interesting. That passive verb, be strong in the Lord, be strong, indicates that empowering of a believer is not something they do to themselves, but it's something they receive from God. That they are empowered, they are strong. Be strong, that isn't just you like going, okay, I'm gonna white knuckle it through this life. But rather, instead, we receive a power. We are strong because of a power given to us. And it's a continuing empowerment of the believer. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not a one-time prayer. It's not a one-time moment. But every day that there is an empowering of the believer to go into battle. Now, again, I'm using a lot of war terminology here. I don't want you to get weird on me, but I think every day it feels like a lot of times we're in a battle, right? lot of times the battle is in our mind. Sometimes the battle is physical, like against a sickness or whatever else, but we're in a battle. And when we are in Christ, we are strong. So it doesn't matter our stature, it matters our position. Does that make sense? We're positioned in Christ. And so what do? We do battle. Let's look at some of these things that Paul pointed out. First of all, he talked about the belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? Well, the belt of truth is basically being strengthened by the word of God. The word of God is truth, all right? So it's a personal resolve to say, I am not only going to understand that the Bible is truth, I'm gonna actually live in truth. I'm gonna know the Bible and I'm gonna live it. I'm going to seek out wisdom in the word of God, and then I'm going to walk it out. Does that make sense? So we put on the belt of truth. A belt gives support, right? The word of God will support you in your battles of everyday life. Secondly, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, to put on a breastplate of righteousness means, as Christians, that we are to reflect the character, the righteous character of our God in our everyday actions. Righteousness simply means this. It means right standing with God. So we say, what's the breastplate of righteousness? What does that mean? It means this. I do my best every day to live the way that God wants me to live. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I don't fail. It doesn't mean that sometimes I fall short, but I do my best to live in a way that God approves of. And if I do that, then I'm in righteousness. Now, here's the thing. He helps us do this. In fact, he helps us to be able to live the kind of life that he wants us to live. Also, the shield of faith. I think this is an interesting one. As Paul is talking about a shield of faith to the Roman citizens and even Jews that were in the Roman Empire, they are all picturing a Roman soldier because they'd seen Roman soldiers and the kind of shields that they had. It's kind of interesting. Here's a picture of like what it would have looked like, okay, back in the day here. This is kind of like what a Roman shield would have looked like. It's a big shield. It's not small. It actually, some of them were 4 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide, constructed with leather that was stretched over wood that had metal trim on the top and the bottom, all right? These things protected the whole body for the most part. Sometimes they would take these shields, and especially if they're wrapped in leather, they'd actually soak them in water before they went out in the battle because they would have burning arrows shot at them, and if the arrow would hit the wet leather, it would extinguish the burning arrow. Which is where you're getting Paul saying that in the shield, it extinguishes burning arrows, all right? And when there were soldiers that were like standing next to each other and they all had these like huge shields, they would get close and would actually form a wall, if that makes sense. Like they put shield next to shield next to shield. And then the second row of soldiers would take their shields and put it on top. It almost became like a human tank. And they would advance into battle as the infantry, as the soldiers would go close to each other. And it was not just a defensive weapon. It would actually also be an offensive weapon. That's why faith is not just defensive. It is offensive. Does that make sense? In other words, it's not just for a defensive posture. It's also to advance. Your faith helps you advance in life, not just defend yourself from the enemy. It's pretty amazing. Helmet of salvation, the next one. Well, you know, it's interesting. As Paul is writing about the armor of God, he's actually referencing, and for those people that the people that were listening or reading his letter, they were referencing back to what they learned about Isaiah in the Old Testament. Paul is talking also about Isaiah 59, verse 17, okay? You can write that down, look it up later. Isaiah 59 is an interesting passage in the Old Testament where it talks about God actually putting on armor. God putting on armor. You know that God has armor. It's interesting. If you read it in Isaiah 59, it talks about the Lord puts on armor, and it says the Lord, in verse 17, puts on a helmet. Now, here's the thing. Many theologians believe, as Paul's talking about this, referencing back to Isaiah 59, he's talking about a helmet that's actually a ceremonial helmet. It is a helmet of victory. which is not just a battle helmet, it's a helmet of victory, which means that the battle has already been won. Do you hear that? So you and I, we must keep the helmet of salvation. We must keep salvation on our minds at all times. And here's the reason why. You're saved. The battle has been won. Sin has been defeated in your life. Do you hear that? Because of the cross. And we forget many times we're on the winning team. We act like we're on the losing team sometimes. No, we're on the winning team. We forget that we are already saved and we're being saved every single day. We put on the helmet of salvation. We remind ourselves that we're a child of God, that we are bought with a high price, that Jesus defeated the cross and the grave is empty, and we have resurrection power. We need to put that on our minds every single day, right? Sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says of itself. Now, a sword is a weapon that is to advance. It's an offensive weapon, okay? The word of God is an offensive weapon. Sometimes the word of God will become offensive, all right? And also, the word of God is meant to attack the enemy. In fact, a sword is meant to kill the enemy. The sword is meant to stop the enemy, right? Well, nothing stops the enemy like the word of God. You and I, we need to speak the word over our circumstances. We need to memorize it. We need to get it inside of us. I realize some of you might go, I don't even understand how to do that. Go to Growth Track. All right, listen, go to Growth Track. We do it every single month. It starts at the beginning of the first Sunday of the month, okay? And it's like concurrent with our services. And you can go, it teaches you how to like take that next step of faith. Get involved in a life group. Get involved in a freedom group. We're gonna teach you how to read the word of God and how to get it inside of you. Here's an easy thing that you could all do. Download the app YouVersion, Y-O-U, YouVersion. All right? And every day, they have a little devotional on there. It's just a little verse and a little explanation of it. Memorize it. Get it in you. Put it in your brain and your spirit before you go to your day, whether it be at work or school or wherever. You see, you need spiritual weapons for the spiritual battles that you are encountering, right? Paul finishes his thoughts about the armor, and he says this. He says, you need to pray. Paul says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. We need to pray. And here's the thing. So many times we don't know what to pray. And I'm just telling you, you just talk to God like you would talk to a person. You tell him what's on your heart and on your mind. You know, get involved even in a freedom group. We can teach you how to pray, or especially how to pray in the Spirit. Because I realize I don't have time to talk about that today. But get involved with that, because prayer works every time in me. Do you hear that? Prayer works every time. Lastly this, you don't retreat. You keep moving forward. You know, Frodo reaches a point in the journey where he's weary, he's tired. He's encountered all kinds of hardships, and he has a difficult decision to make. Is he gonna quit? Watch this.
After losing members along the way and the ring growing in power, Frodo comes to the realization that he must continue the journey to Mordor on his own. The ring becoming too powerful was too tempting for those traveling with Frodo. Some tried to steal it and some denied its power, but couldn't be near it. As Frodo is making a tearful exit, his friend Sam comes running to find him. Frodo wants to leave before Sam gets to him so that Sam does not try to come with him on the last part of the journey. Seeing Frodo float away, Sam begins to run into the water to get him. Frodo warns Sam of his lack of swimming ability, but Sam does not listen. He begins to drown, and Frodo turns to save his friend. Frodo pulls him into the boat, and Samwise states, "I made a promise," meaning he would go with him till the end. Frodo relents, hugging Sam, and they continue on the journey, just the two of them, on to Mordor.
You know, sometimes in life, that line, I wish that this never came to me. You encounter battles that you just go, I really wish this never came to me. But then that other line that talks about, we don't get to choose that, do we? But rather, we just are given this opportunity, and we have to battle. That's a paraphrase, obviously. You know, some of you are battling something right now, and you wish that this battle never came to you. It might be a financial battle, a health battle, a relational battle, something going on at work, in your career, career training, in school, wherever it's at. And you're like, I just wish this never came to me. And I would stand with you in solidarity on that. I'd say, I wish it hadn't come either. But the reality is this, that you're in a battle, and today, I want you to realize it's probably a spiritual battle more than anything else. And spiritual battles require spiritual weapons. And notice something as Paul talked in his description of armor, spiritual armor. Notice there is no backplate. In other words, there's nothing protecting the back of a Christian. I think that's interesting. You go through, there's a breastplate, there's swords, there's shield, there's shoes, there's belt, there's all this sort of stuff. He doesn't mention anything on the back. And here's the reason why. We were never designed to retreat. And we were never designed to turn our back on the enemy. But rather, instead, how does Paul wrap this whole thing up? He says, when you've done everything to stand, stand. Not turn, stand. Now listen, I want you to hear this. That doesn't mean there aren't times of weariness and times that you don't want to quit. I mean, everyone feels that, including me. And it doesn't mean that there aren't times in life that you don't just do it afraid. I talked about that a few weeks ago. Some of you go back and listen to that message. Sometimes you just do life afraid. But what does the scripture say? What does it say? It says this. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And if you've done everything to stand, stand firm. So I'm encouraging you today as we close. I realize some of you, you are weary from the battle. Whatever it is, it might be a mental battle, a physical battle. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, it's a spiritual battle. And you're tired, but keep standing. How do we keep standing? How do we do it? Because I don't feel like I have any more in me. You don't. But guess what? He does. So every day you put on your full armor. You put on your belt, the breastplate, the shield, the shoes. You grab the sword and you go into battle, not with your might and not with your weaponry, but rather instead with Jesus with you, his strength, his arsenal, his protection, his anointing, his presence, and you go into battle every single day. And we say, God, I don't stand in my own strength. I stand in Christ. Because in Christ, I have power to overcome the enemy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for my friends. Lord, I pray. I realize some of them are in the battle of their life. Some of them are in a significant battle at work, at school, in their family, in their body. Lord, I pray that today we'd realize that everything spiritual, that what we're encountering is really a spiritual battle. So Lord God, we put on our spiritual armor today. We pick up our spiritual weaponry and we stand in you. And we say, Jesus, give us strength every single day to keep standing, to keep moving forward. Lord, I pray right now that my friends would be protected. I pray that the enemy would be thwarted in their life. I pray that they would be given favor. Lord, I pray they'd be given health, that they'd be given, Lord, the ability to have wisdom to navigate the challenges that are in their path. And Lord, we want to remember Jesus' words that even though there's going to be trials and tribulations, Jesus said, I have overcome these things. And when we stand in you, it means that we are an overcomer also, that we are more than victorious. Lord, encourage my friends today. Help them to straighten up their spine, put their shoulders back, and to stand firm in you, realizing that the victory is already theirs. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God a huge round of applause.
Hey, you know, we never like to let a week go by without the opportunity for you to begin a relationship with Jesus by inviting him into your life. So if that's you, if you feel God tugging on your heart and you just want to take a moment to like begin this relationship with him and invite him into your life, I want you to pray with me. So we're going to pray, dear Lord, I know that I made mistakes and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins, and I now invite you to be the leader and forgiver of my life. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, if you made that decision, we got a couple of exciting next steps for you. One, we want you to tell somebody about it. Like we say around here, we're not meant to do life alone.
That's right.
So let somebody know. Drop a line in the chat. Let us know. We want to pray with you. We've also got a New Beginnings resource we want to put in your hands. It just basically walks you through the next steps of what to do since you've made this decision.
That's right. And another great next step that we have is what we call Growth Track. And what that is, it's just designed to help you discover the gifts and talents that God has put in you and how to use them to not only build your relationship with him, but also to build the kingdom with him.
Yeah.
And so if you want to be a part of Growth Track or you're just interested in want more information, you can scan the QR code, you can go on the app. And the nice part about Growth Track Online is you can do it at your own pace. So no matter how busy your schedule is, you could fit it into it. And so we want to encourage you to take that next step as well.
That's right. Another thing that we do around here that is vital is prayer. We believe in the power of prayer, and we want to partner with you guys in prayer. We also have a reading plan that we go through in our app. Both of those you can go through our app. You can give us your prayer requests and jump in on the reading plan. So check that out.
That's right. And really the best thing that you can do is just keep coming back to church.
Right.
Keep watching online, maybe inviting your friends to watch with you, but really keep coming back to church because that's what's going to help you continue to build your faith and learn different practical ways to build your faith as well.
That's
you know, we've got another message coming up next week with At the Movie Series.
That's
we're going to be going through the movie Boys in the Boat with Pastor Jen.
Okay.
And so we want to encourage you to not only stay here, but also come back next week with
us
and join us as we watch that message. But, you know, if this message encouraged you or maybe you know somebody who might be going through a difficult time, needs a reminder that the armor of God is readily available for them to fight whatever battle they're going through, we want to encourage you to share that message with those people. Share it with your friends, your family. Let's be hope bringers, hope sharers in this season.
All right.
Yeah. Well,
thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you back again next week.
That's right.